Welcome to the Bank Marketing Show, the podcast that engages and informs you for success in today's marketplace. It's the show that will make you a better marketer with trends, tactics, and inspiration from experts and industry leaders. If you're wanting to impact your personal success and position your bank as the best choice in your market, you're in the right place. Now let's dive into today's show with your hosts, Chris and Dan.
Hey, welcome to the Bank Marketing Show. I'm half your host, Dan Novalis. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today, man?
Good, good. It's good to be starting another episode with you. I'm excited for this one. I think we've got a great guest here, Matthew Wade. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
And we're going to dive into all things digital. So yeah, Chris, I know we do a lot of, we're always kind of working with our clients to raise their digital presence, get more advertising out there, get more into the places where millennials and Gen Z and all the prospects that banks want these days get the bank logo in front of where those prospects are. So I think this will be a great discussion on that, and great case studies and ways for banks to do more of that.
Well, and I know, Dan, as you and I were talking about industry partners of both of our agencies, and we kind of came around to this topic and both said, oh, it'd be great to have Matthew on with us and really provide some resourceful information. So agree with you, and Matthew, really glad to have you with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All things digital.
There you go. So let me set a little background up for everybody here. So Matthew Wade, he's president of Exact Marketing. Exact is a transformative media agency based in West Tennessee that is focused on delivering a better way of buying digital marketing and advertising. Matthew spent his first decade in his career in sports marketing with USA Today's Sports Media Group, which sounds like some amazing engagements, and you worked with, household names like Nike and Ford and Under Armour and Gatorade and Army National Guard and all of these. So you got out there and played with the big boys some in that. And I know that, and I've heard you say that your role and Exact's focus now is really trying to deliver that same kind of Madison Avenue advertising capabilities to Main Street businesses and their agencies, which we certainly fit as those agencies and all of our financial institution clients certainly fit as those businesses. So great fit. And Matthew, awesome to have you with us today.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having me. It's funny, when you start your career working with such big companies, there's a couple of things you realize. One is, no matter how big of an impact you think you're making in their business, it's likely kind of a rounding error on their end. And they have such massive budgets that even if you're getting 10, 20% of it, it's just not, you don't go home feeling like, I really changed or transformed a business. So when I left USA Today, my first stop, I was working with companies that, it was tiny businesses, people taking out home equity loans to keep their business afloat. And what we really saw was they were being charged way more for a whole lot less. And I really saw an opening to be able to bring the same types of capabilities that the Fords, Nikes, and Gatorades of the world get to Main Street businesses and really make an impact. So it's been a journey for me for sure. And one that I enjoy every single day. I never thought that I would spend my career in this size business industry, but ever since I got my feet wet in it, I've never wanted to go back. So it's been wonderful.
Love that. Well, and Matthew, the three of us talked a little bit about the episode today and figuring that what's really valuable for our folks is giving them insight into digital advertising and kind of what's in the pipeline within the industry, and talking about some strategies and leaving our listeners today with some really applicable takeaways, and some things that, we're doing a little bit of digital, but boy, we could do that better, or we're doing a lot and gosh, we didn't really think about that part that way. Or there's certainly a significant sector of our listenership also that are just maybe stepping into it. And, you know, maybe, Dan, we've used this case study a lot, but maybe, well, 2 years ago, we spent $500 on Google ads and that didn't work. So we don't do digital advertising anymore. It's like, okay, well, a little more to it than that, you know, for your bank. But so that's kind of the backdrop, I think, of our listenership. Is it's across a lot of spectrums. But I think the interest here is really going to be about what you said is as a Main Street business, which certainly community banks and credit unions are, what are some of these key strategies? So maybe start, Matthew, with big picture for us, kind of going into 2024 and how do you kind of see the industry, where we are now, and as it's applicable to our listenership?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk through that. I think your online presence as a bank has never been more important than it is today. I think there was a 2022 Forbes digital banking survey that stated that 78% of U.S. customers would prefer to bank online or via mobile app than in a branch. And in a lot of ways, that trend can help level the playing field for a lot of local and community banks as they're competing with the major ones out there. It's not just about what number of brick and mortars do you have and what prominence is their locations anymore. It's really more important to reach the right customer at the right time with the right message. And digital advertising, more than anything out there, gives you the ability to do that in a way that has a really low barrier to entry for your clients as well. So, you know, I'm always hesitant to give blanket advice of here's what everybody needs to do, regardless of what your target market is or right. what your really core competency or competitive advantage in market is. But there are some things that I think everybody should look at doing in the industry. And there's really kind of the four key pillars that I know in conversations we've all had, we kind of start out with, and the first of which being really search engine marketing and doing it the right way. So, you know, I always describe it as your online sign. And if your bank's sign on the front of the building fell down or burned out or was painted over, I can promise you'd be out on a ladder getting it fixed as soon as you possibly could. And if you're not doing anything in the search space, then really your online sign isn't there and customers aren't going to be able to find you. And then really pillar two is focused on the behavioral side, or I'm sorry, on the retargeting side, being able to reach those customers that have already been to your website or looked at your products. We know that in the financial industry, purchasing decisions take a lot of research and they're slower than in other industries. So it's important to stay in front of your customers as they're going through their research or consideration. And we recommend a dynamic retargeting strategy that allows you to target and customize your advertising or your messaging to the products they were looking at, right? If I'm on your website and I'm looking at mortgages, it doesn't make a lot of sense to put a credit card in front of me. But if we can actually customize our messaging based on the products, it's really helpful. And then, you know, I'd be remiss if in 2024, I didn't mention cookieless and the cookieless future. And so we think that contextual targeting will continue to play a bigger and bigger role in the marketing mix that people employ digitally, because contextual is just a inherently cookieless advertising solution. So being able to look at the content someone's consuming in real time and then pick the right advertising targeting for them. So we can tailor the messaging to the content that they're consuming. And it helps you in your customer journey be able to hit them as they go through milestones in their life. So if somebody's reading articles about getting married, being able to target them with a mortgage ad as an example, or if they're reading about baby development or education costs, you can serve them with ads for a 529 plan. So being able to really tailor the messaging to the right audience at the right time, And then the last pillar is the old tried and true behavioral targeting, right? Fish where the fish are. Target your customers as you know the needs that they have. So while contextual is really a real-time target, behavioral allows you to use some predictive modeling where you can say, okay, behaviorally, you know, we know this potential customer is going through this life event and we'll be able to in the future follow them and serve them with the right ads at the right time. So those are kind of the core pillars that we start with. And then we develop a really customized strategy for our clients based on those.
Yeah, I think, you know, I kind of said at the beginning of the episode, right? Like, and you said fish where the fish are, right? It's finding, you know, finding people in those right moments, right? And you know, I think a lot of banks approach it as we need to be on Google or we need to be on digital, right? And it's, I think with the way you're describing the pillars, it's a lot more than that, right? It's you know, it's creating an environment where if you're in this bank, if you're in the bank's target market, right, you can't miss it. You can't miss the bank, right? I think each of those pillars is there's just a different purpose, right? And it's not that one is better than the other. It's their pillars because you've got to kind of have all of them to hold the, you know, hold the ship up.
Yeah, I think one of the things that a lot of people miss too is the view of everything that you do holistically. So, you know, nothing makes me more frightened than when we're talking to someone and they say, I'm going to give you all of my radio budget for digital, or I'm going to give you my TV budget to move over here, or I want to shut this off and move all of it over. And the challenge there is all of these things help each other. So it's amazing if you're doing a traditional media plan today and all of a sudden you start doing something in digital, it will increase the performance that you see across all of those traditional platforms. All of your advertising mix has to play well together. So it's important to have a partner that can really take a holistic view of what you're doing there. Because yeah, to your point, Dan, all of these platforms and pillars, they have a specific purpose and a specific place in the funnel. And really utilizing them together as a mix is the best strategy for anyone.
Matthew, I think the beauty of those pillars as you described them and what separates digital advertising from so many of the other more traditional platforms is that we're going to them. So we're not putting an ad in a magazine and gosh, we hope, you know, our target market readers open and happen to see that. Now, you're right, that has branding value. Don't stop doing that. Don't stop sticking your sign on the baseball field at the high school and, you know, all that, the whole thing. Because back to marketing 101, we need those multiple touch points. There, especially as you say, a financial or a financial account decision is a big deal. It's not one that people do flippantly or spur of the moment typically. So just seeing one digital ad is not going to make them switch to your bank, you know, or take out a mortgage loan with you when they're a first-time home buyer. But you said that extremely well. Thanks for that. That in compilation, you know, with all of those things. But don't you agree that the difference in the strategic thinking for digital advertising is we're able to go to them based on the context, as you say, of their online behaviors and, you know, do those things. So yes, SEM first, let's just get your sign up there. When somebody searches for something in your keyword set, or for heaven's sake, even with your brand name, and you're not even coming up at the top of a Google text return page, then come on, we got to fix that first. You know, then let's do these other strategies once the foundational is established. But don't you agree that, and talk a little bit more about that, about how so much of the strategy behind the pillars, as you described, is going to them rather than waiting on potential audience folks that are qualified to come to the brand?
Yeah, and so I think that some of the versatility of digital that really makes a big difference is not only being able to kind of predict based on life event or the content or what they're consuming or where they are in any life stage and really customize that messaging to that exact moment in time, which is really about being a service to your customers more than just being there and being present. It's how can you help them with the challenges that they're facing today, or what the, you know, the decisions that they're trying to make, the research that they're doing. So it really helps you to get in front of them in a much more advanced way than before. And we often tell our clients too, you should really A/B test your creative as well, just to be able to say, hey, you know what? What type of a message, what type of an image, what type of a tagline is going to work at this moment in time to get in front of these folks, as we know that they're looking for a mortgage as an example. And then the other part of it is being able to change your creative dynamically based on not only what they're consuming, but also where they are. If you have 5 branches in a town and you're closest to branch A, we can actually tailor the messaging based on where it serves in real time to be able to say, hey, here's the closest branch to you. It's this far away. Here's one button to click to get directions, or click here to call now. And being able to serve things differently based on, is it delivering in app? Is it delivering on a desktop, or is it delivering on a mobile device? So that you can say, hey, if we're delivering this on a desktop environment, it makes a lot of sense to drive them to our website. But if they're in a Google Maps page, it probably makes a lot more sense to have it get directions or click here to call now.
Yeah, I was just thinking about, like, you have the sign at the sponsorship, the sponsorship sign at the ball game, let's say, right? But then what's somebody going to do with that, right? They're going to Google your name. They should see an ad. They see your ad. They're going to click on that to go to your website. They should see a relatively recent website. And what you're just describing is taking that to the next level of, like, then, you know, digital also provides a lot of ways to just predict what they need, right? Yeah. If they search for the name of the bank in Google, it's one thing, right? But if they search for best checking accounts or what is a 529, like, there's any number of things they can search for that give some indication of what they want. And then, you know, when you get into the programmatic behavior world, there's that extends there too, and we can make some inferences. I like what you said about try to treat it like a, you know, customer interaction. I think what we're trying to do is, like, replicate what would you do if that person walked into the branch, right? And we're using digital data and using, are they searching in Google Maps, or are they searching somewhere else, or are they, you know, in the form of contextual advertising, are they reading an article about 529s, and you can kind of predict what they need in that moment. So I think it's really what banks should be doing. And, you know, feel free to expand on this, but I think what banks should be doing is kind of think about doing what they do best and thinking about what the customer needs. And then how do we replicate that with digital? Not how do we just throw out a digital ad just because we think we need to?
Yeah, I think there's 2 major mindset shifts that have happened over the past decade of advertising. And I've kind of been able to see this from every side of the desk, which is really nice. But watching this transition from one buying, like, based on index, right? So it was, hey, we used to buy this property because we knew it indexed really high in this audience that we wanted to reach, to now we're buying advertising based on the exact persona we want to hit in market. And it allows you to really make your dollars go a lot farther because there's a lot less waste. But the challenge with that, when you're combating it from the other side, was always, hey, you know, search, we ran a television ad and a billboard at the ball game and we're in the school programs. But if you're looking at a conversion funnel, everybody's coming to our website via search or via direct URL. And what we really also transitioned to, and what's nice about the role Exact and others play, where we really look at everything that a client is doing in their advertising mix, is being able to say, okay, since you purchased that program, or since your billboard was in the local ball field, ever since you started doing that, you know, your conversions on search have gone up, your direct URL searches have increased, your web traffic has been impacted in one way or another. So it is so important to look at the entire scope of advertising and the role that digital plays in it. And there's a healthy balance. You know, I as much as I would love to recommend to every client that 100% of their budget should be in digital, I think, you know, it's not a realistic picture. There are still a lot of traditional avenues to follow. And also knowing that it takes time, you have to be able to monitor. And, you know, the nice thing about digital is it's inherently analytical. You can watch what's happening. You can make real-time changes to your messaging, to the performance, to your media mix. And being able to watch it across all of your analytics and your dashboards and make the changes that you need to make in real time, because it's not something, to Chris's earlier point, that you can throw $500 at for a month and expect to see perfect results. You've got to be willing to kind of get in, stick with it, see what is going to work and hone it over time. We like to make changes in 2-week increments to our campaigns so that we give it enough time to kind of stabilize.
Yeah, Matthew, to that point, as you well know, we talk to so many of our bank clients about, hey, great, if you want to step into this advertising strategy around digital, let's do it at least a 90-day sprint. Because if we're not doing that, that's right. And a lot of what separates, I'm gonna talk good about us, Dan, but the way that our agencies work is we're doing what you're talking about, Matthew, is it's not a plug it into a platform and set it and forget it. Right. And, you know, there's some media companies that are out there selling digital advertising to some of our bank clients, and that's kind of what's happening. And they're getting thrown in there with the same strategies as the tire shops and the bakeries and the whatever. Right. So ours is not that, and it is being touched and edited as it goes, and watching things like you said, the A/B testing and what's working well. Yeah. Well, man, hey, the lady with the hat on image is working a whole lot better than the one with this call to action. So let's move the spend over there right in the middle of the campaign so it's performing better. So it is those kind of things. And I wanted to ask if you would dig into kind of one area of thought in this a little bit. But you mentioned local, you know, at several points. The sell point for community banks and financial institutions, you know, is about relationship. That's the differentiator. Every bank sells money. Every bank has a checking account of some. Some are specialized in certain areas, and hopefully they're working on or really expounding on their differentiators, right? But part of that local and digital advertising, Matthew, I think can also mean, hey, how do we compete with, you know, we're a $500 million in asset bank. We've got 8 branches. A lot of our branches are in these small local communities, et cetera. How do we compete with Chase, Bank of America, all these, you know, how are we going to do that and utilize our differentiator and put that out there in our advertising? And I know that digital is a great platform to do that, but how do you see that kind of marching it out successfully?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that make digital really great for that. One is, you know, you don't have to worry about preemptions on television buys and things like that. You also don't have to have really large commitments of spend to be able to effectively utilize digital. And just the way that targeting works, it helps those dollars go farther. But I think when you look at increasing market share, whether it's trying to break into a new market, or if it's trying to continue to compete as a Chase Bank, as an example, would move into your local market, there's two things that we really like to start with there, one of which is using consumer foot traffic. So being able to monitor, hey, what banks are the folks in our community stepping into, retargeting them with your bank's advertising, being able to really say, hey, these are people who are not our customers today. They could be our customers tomorrow. And then layering onto that audience some of the other tactics we've talked about. So whether it's life milestone tactics like that, or behavioral targeting, being able to say, hey, you know, Dan was in Chase Bank yesterday, and we know Dan is about to be married, so he might be looking for a mortgage or a joint checking account. Now would be a really good time to get in front of him with our messaging. The other part of really kind of shoring up those walls is to do search properly. I would say 80% or more of our clients are not exhausting the level of investment that they could make in search without reaching diminishing returns. And a lot of that is being educated on understanding your share of search volume and also doing smart keyword management. So without making it way more technical than it needs to be, it's really about, hey, are for the products and services that we're offering, are we showing up when someone's looking for them online? And are we showing up at the right amount of time? A lot of people are throwing kind of guesses as to what their budget could be into those platforms when they could use educated metrics like share of search volume to say, hey, am I reaching about 20% of the volume of searches I could be? And then a more aggressive tactic against competitors, one that Google kind of encourages, is being able to buy competitive keywords or brand names. And you see this happen a lot. As long as it's not trademarked and you're not using it deceptively, you are able to buy competitive bank names as keywords for your ad to show up and differentiate yourself against. One of the spaces that this happens a lot in outside of banking is the productivity software space. Perfect example is if you go to Google and you search Asana, you'll probably receive a Monday.com ad that says Monday.com is better, here's why. And they're not using the name Asana in the creative, but everyone gets the message. I looked for Asana and here's a Monday.com ad saying why they're better. So, and you can really tailor your messaging to a landing page that talks about why community banking is important, having a relationship rather than, you know, a transactional approach is valuable in helping your local community and being there, some of the history of it. We've even had banking clients of ours in the state of Tennessee have run creative that features the local bankers in the creative as members of the community. And that has a lot of staying power. And it was some of the best performing creative we've run in the space because, you know, hey, it's Dan, it's Chris, it's people we know. They're part of our community and they're here to stay.
I think another, I was actually working with your team recently on some ideas around that type of targeting for like the use case of a bank's competitor gets acquired or a branch closes. And I think those things can be really powerful there of like come out with a picture of your, you know, picture of your exec team or your president saying we're here to stay, we're part of the community, we're real human beings, we're not gonna, you know, disappear on you.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that's a great tactic for device ID too, where you're able to say, hey, we're gonna use, you know, who was the customer of that bank that just got acquired or that branch that just closed, who was there, who were their customers that would be in that branch. And then we can target our advertising for exactly what you're talking about, Dan, being able to give them the messaging around, hey, we're here to stay and we're still local. And that is incredibly impactful, especially in 2024.
Yeah. One of the big tricky things in this sector, Matthew, for banks, as you well know, is compliance. And, you know, we've got, for example, a healthcare group client, and, you know, they're a large scale pediatric group. And, you know, with that, we can target young moms that carry purple purses that live in this zip code that have this household income level. I mean, we can drill in as far as we want to go. And as we all know with banking, we can't do that. But what we are doing, and some of what you've talked about, is responses to context and behavior. And I know that's kind of why you brought some of those pillars to talk about on the show today, because these are things that, to give our audience assurance, these are things we can do within all the compliance standards of banking and do digital. That's one of the reasons there's fear factor there for those bankers that haven't done it and gone there. They're like, ah, oh, well, you know, I'm kind of scared of that, and I don't want a regulator pinging us for this. And, you know, I can say that one of the key parts to making sure that's the case is to have a partner, you know, like us, that can help guide that process and does banking all day, every day. And so that we know that. But would you agree, Matthew, also that that's part of it is you mentioned versatility earlier and the versatility of strategies to be able to do that, even when we can't drill all the way into a targeted audience on the front end, there are a lot of these tactics and strategies that you've talked about that we can still reach our, Dan, you mentioned it a bit, our ideal audiences, and that there are ways to do that. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I think, you know, it's almost painful at times, the level of data that we have at our fingertips that we can't use in the industry, right? If we're trying to advertise refinance for mortgages, the data exists for not only what your home payment is, but what your mortgage rate is, what the age of your home is, and you can't use any of that data in the space. But that doesn't mean that you still can't use compliance-friendly and approved methods to really do your advertising a little bit smarter and make your dollars go further. And some of the ways are simply knowing that, you know, cord cutters are a little bit younger than the audience that you're going to reach on traditional television, that you're more likely to reach a younger audience on streaming than you would on traditional terrestrial radio. So being able to pick platforms that are going to index higher for the audiences that you're trying to work is certainly helpful and completely compliance friendly as well. But also then being able to kind of take it to the next level from the mindset of, let's look at what product or service is the right fit at the right time? What are the life events that we can look at? And while we can't target at the zip code level, when we do target a pin and radius method around our branches, or if we target based on a DMA, can we do things that are still going to reach a younger audience, or, you know, reach an audience that's more apt to be looking for the product or service that we have? So it is something that I think, you know, the value of folks like both of you in the space is having someone to kind of shepherd you through all of the legalities and the compliance issues that are there. Also having a partner that's staying on the forefront of the changes that are happening in digital advertising today. One of the changes that has happened recently is Google, as an example, and search has changed the targeting that you can do in the financial sector. You can no longer target based on zip code. So now you have to target a little bit more broadly with pin and radius around branch locations. And so all of these things are for a better future. Obviously, the better the industry as a whole becomes around privacy and finding better ways to segment audiences is wonderful. But it is incredibly valuable to have partners that understand that and are staying on top of that, that can help guide you through it. But yeah, the good news I think is compliance as a whole, while there's a lot of fun tools and tactics that we don't get to utilize, there's still a whole lot that you can do to really make your dollars reach the right person at the right time with your media investments.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it goes back to what we said earlier was, right, there's reaching the person and then there's kind of like anticipating what they need, right? We can infer a lot from where we reach them about what they need, and that can inform our messaging, our copy to speak to them. And that's really what it's all about is, you know, speaking to them, connecting with them more than it is the super detailed targeting. I think we can, banks just need to lean more on what do we say when we get there.
Yeah, exactly.
Matthew, I can promise you that there are a large chunk of our listeners that if they're riding down the road or they're jogging on their treadmill or whatever while they're listening to this, have been going, "Dang, I need to take notes. I gotta jot that down." What he said, because you've hit some just spot on suggestions, strategies, great information here. And to remind our listeners, the good thing is we're going to have this stuff in show notes. And I've even jotted down a couple more things that, you know, to be sure to pass along to our team internally. So this has been just great information. And that will be accessible to all of our listeners. So, man, I can't thank you enough for hitting on some really key stuff. I know the challenge here is we could dive off in about four or five different directions that you and Dan and I could do a whole another hour on and never even check up. So this is great stuff.
Yeah, thank you. No, and I think the one of the biggest challenges, as strange as it sounds in digital, is there is a never-ending toolbox out there, right? Mm-hmm. There's always something new that you can utilize. There's always a different level of targeting. I mean, even as you start to get into business banking and being able to do different types of targeting around things like job title, things like job role, company size, some of the different things that you can do, the challenge at times becomes more, what does the budget dictate and allow? And I think one of the things that I would guide your listeners on is to look at your marketing and advertising from a mindset of you're going to have a confine on your end of what your budget is. Let that kind of determine your tactics and strategies. What resources do you have available? So, you know, I'll end by saying, you know, any of these tactics can be done via display, via digital. It can be done at $100,000 a month to $1,000 a month. A lot of the times it's just finding the right mix, starting at the bottom of the funnel and working your way up. You know, let's get as many people through that know about us today, and then let's start getting more people to know who you are tomorrow. So that's where I would begin on these things as we look at it. But let your budget be your guide and find good partners to work with. There's a lot of folks out there that know a whole lot about the space and are ready and available to work with you.
Love it. Man, thank you so much for that, Matthew. But we can't let you go yet. With our guest, we do some fun stuff here with our lightning round and lets us get to know you a little better as well. So you got a moment for the lightning round?
I'm ready to go. Let's do it.
Awesome. All right. Well, the first one is, can you share a personal best and a business best?
Ooh, personal best. I would say, becoming a dad of three boys has been really incredible. And my boys are still young enough that they view me like a superhero. And while I try and fail to live up to that expectation every single day, I think the trying makes me a better person in every facet of my life. So it's been incredible, incredible there. A business best. It's kind of cheesy, but being named president of Exact has been a business best of mine and certainly the highlight of my career. I was able to work with them as a client and then being asked to come on board and really serve as a transformative leader to transition them into the business model we follow today. It's been a really fun and exciting and challenging 3 years at the helm here. And I often joke that when we laid out the business plan, it was a lot of fun. But now that we're exceeding and hitting metrics and doing all those things, it's a little more scary than fun now, but it's still pretty fun.
That's great. Well, Matthew, do you have a favorite book you recommend or resource?
I'll give you two. I know, Chris, I know you're a fan of this one too, which is Traction by Gino Wickman. I think any small business leader or entrepreneur should own a copy of that book, read that book, become familiar with EOS. And then I think I recommend to everyone Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. It's just an incredibly powerful mindset for anyone to have, which is just taking ownership of everything in your life.
Love that. All right. Do you have a most impactful piece of advice that you've received?
I think one of the most impactful pieces of advice in my personal life that I've received is to ask, how did that go? And be able to ask people and leaders and peers that I trust after a big presentation or an interview or a sales pitch, just being able or a meeting to look around the room and say, how did that go? And soliciting feedback. And if there's not people there that you can ask, is asking yourself and reflecting on it. I think, you know, we don't get report cards anymore. But the reality is being able to solicit honest feedback is invaluable to bettering yourself and everything that you do.
That's great. That's great advice. So do you have one that comes to mind that you pass advice that you pass along to your team?
Well, I'll challenge or I'll channel a fellow West Virginia native in Nick Saban, which is trust the process. You know, I think more and more we are focusing internally at Exact. It just know the right thing to do at the right time and do the right thing every step of the way, and don't worry about the result. The result will come. It's one of those strange paradoxes in life that if you're focused on the result, you probably won't get there. But when you focus on the process, the result comes pretty quick, and kind of work backwards from what do I want to happen and what do I need to do to get there.
Good stuff. All right. Well, Matthew, how can people connect with you on your channels or get in touch with you?
Yeah, no. So our website is a bit of a mouthful, but it's exactmarketing.digital. And you can reach me at any time at mwade@exactmarketing.digital. So happy to connect and nerd out about these things all day long. I think I could talk about this more than anybody wants. So always excited to have more conversations.
Dan and I have gotten to know you over the years, and we know you like to do that, which is one reason you were going to be so great on the show today.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And thanks again for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Matt. It's I always learn a lot when we talk. So hopefully everybody else got a couple of things to take away.
There you go.
Great.
Well, Matthew's episode will be at the top as you listen to this. When the episode comes out, you can always go to bankmarketingshow.com if it's later on and search for this episode. Have great takeaways and tidbits and things that you can plug into your day-to-day life in your business. And Matthew, we sure do thank you again.
Yeah, thank you guys.
All right.
Thanks for joining us. To go deeper or get access to some of the valuable nuggets from today's show, go to bankmarketingshow.com. There you'll find episodes, links to resources, and much more. Be sure to subscribe wherever you find your podcasts. And join us next time.